I want to talk a little bit about the things that have happened to me in my life as a Chautauquan. Because I will tell you this, when I was, 25 years old, I never expected that I would spend about a third of my life in tights. it just wasn't my plan, and I sort of got tripped into this career. And now I've portrayed a whole range of characters, and I have closets full of costumes. And I say, and I want you to accept that I'm a very shy person. And for me, I travel around, and they go through my luggage at TSA. and I have beards, and mustaches, and wigs, and a monocle, and moccasins and buckskin clothes and peace pipes and swords and they go through it, and it's hard to explain. I've stopped carrying the Quran altogether on these trips. I'll tell you one thing. You learn your lesson. I'm never going to, in the TSA line, ever again say Allah Akbar. That leads to the cavity search. It's been rough. And I've just had all of these crazy experiences. Let me start with one. So I do Meriwether Lewis, of the Lewis and Clark Expedition. And for that, I don't wear a military costume. I wear buckskins. And so I have a buckskin shirt with fringe, and I wear moccasins, and I have a Jefferson Peace Medal, and a peace pipe, and a little necessaries bag. And I've given talks all over the place. And I was in Cripple Creek, Colorado, which is a town up in the mountains of Colorado, and I was going to give this talk for the Colorado Humanities Council, and there were about 200 people in the room, and it just seemed like another routine humanities program to me. But at the last second, there were like five or six seats down in front. At the last second, these five buckskinners walked in, and they were, unlike me, the real item. They looked like they had literally been alive in 1804, and that they had somehow evaded time. And they wore, their buckskins were greasy and with that gore of some, of unknown quantities on them, and mosquitoes everywhere, and their hair was down to their waist, and they had like bowie knives and hatchets, and they had scars. And I thought, this is going to be a really bad thing, because in a humanities program you have to do Q&A, and they know stuff. I don't know anything. They know how you, trap a beaver and how you lay out a pelt and the number of grains in the powder that you put in your musket and how you melt the lead into ball and what happens when your blood, do you put the lancet here? Do you put it here? I know none of this. And so I think if they ask a question, they're going to expose me as a fraud. They're going to ask some kind of question that anybody who really was Meriwether Lewis would know. And since I don't, I'm going to be humiliated in front of all of these good people. So I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the longest monologue in human history. And then there won't be time for questions, And so I did, and I droned on and on. And then finally, I just had to take a few questions. And so the minute I said, perhaps you have a question or two, they all, both hands, 10 hands right in front. And then I'd look out and I'd say, "Oh, that little woman in the back. What's your question?" And she'd say, "Was it terribly hard, Mr. Lewis?" And so I answered as many of those as I could. But finally, I had to take one from these guys. And fortunately, I was able to answer it, within the range of possibility. So afterwards, everyone files out, and they came up to me and congratulated me, and they said, we're so pleased to meet you. We were straight off the rendezvous over on the mountain. Would I go to lunch with them?" And so I said, okay. And so we went to this cafe in Cripple Creek, Colorado, and you have to sort of imagine the rest of the clientele when six douchebags walk in, wearing buckskins. So we order our tuna melts. And then there's like telling me about the rendezvous and how they make knives and, you know, and so on. They wish they'd lived then. And anyway, so this goes on and on, and I'm just thinking, it's, you know, I want to maybe leave now. And then they said to me, you know, because Lewis and Clark, when they got into the Pacific end of it, wound up eating a lot of dogs. They missed the salmon run in both directions, so they were buying dogs from the native peoples, and that became actually the source of a lot of their protein. And so we're having this conversation about this and that, and then the lead guy, he leans over and he says, "Professor Jenkinson, have you ever tasted dog?" And I said, "No. As a matter of fact, I have not." And then there was this kind of pause, and he leaned forward and he said, "We could make that happen." But I declined. And so that's the kind of thing that happens when you dress up. But the other thing is the elevator. So I'm so shy that I always want to be on the first floor, because coming down the elevator is for me very anxiety-laden kind of thing, because, you know, if you meet Thomas Jefferson out of context, you know, if you're just there for the Class B wrestling tournament and you get on the elevator and there's some guy dressed up in tights, every person has to kind of decide how they're going to react to that. And a lot of people, like women, hide their children behind their coats, and people are always like, "Are you Ben Franklin?" And, you know, or, Are you a golf caddy? And there's always some like 55-year-old man who comes up and slaps me on the back and says, "How's that, Sally?" You know? You just think, who are you? You know, who? And so when I get on the elevator, you know, I'm always on like the 24th floor, and I only have one goal, and that is to get to the lobby without the elevator opening. And invariably, the lights light up, and it's the 16th floor, and the 14th floor, and the 9th floor, and people get on and off. And it's just so awkward. But the worst ever, this truly happened in Dallas, Texas. I was on the 27th floor of this luxury hotel. I don't know why they put me there, because I'm kind of a Motel 4 sort of a guy. And I get on, and I go down, and suddenly the door opens, and in walks Kobe Bryant. So here's Kobe Bryant, and at this time I was not Jefferson, I was Theodore Roosevelt. And when I'm doing Theodore Roosevelt, I wear a black top hat, and I have a mustache and a monocle with a string on it, and then like striped trousers and Edwardian boots and a cane. And so, you know, I know who I am. And I know who he is, but he doesn't really have any sense, right? So he gets on, and you know those moments when you sort of as almost like can see yourself in the mirror? And I realized that from his point of view, I looked like Mr. Peanut. You know? And you know, and so, you know, you don't get many chances to meet Kobe Bryant, but I'm Mr. Peanut, and he must be thinking, I got to stay in better hotels. Or, and so I didn't even dare say hello, because how do you say, "I make my living by dressing up like dead men"? You know? By the way, that "I make my living by dressing up like dead men," I tried that in speed dating, and it does not work. And so, you know, we got to the first floor, and he left, and I was humiliated, as in the usual sort of way.